Let's Science is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
3, 2, 1. We live in a universe of scientific wonders.
Every day, scientists are inching towards breakthroughs which can change our lives.
We're playing our small part in sharing these wonders with you.
That's why today is a fine day for science.
So let's science.
So I have a topic which I think would be timely. I don't think it will eclipse the previous topic that we just talked about. On April the 8th, and we are, I know that it's not right to be jealous, but we are jealous Americans because
we are.
Quite a few will on April the 8th be able to experience a total solar eclipse. Hopefully the weather will be nice. Usually in Melbourne when there's an eclipse, we don't get sick.
It's always that. Like,
it's just overcast. Yeah, exactly, guys.
Yeah. Yep. But we always see beautiful photos and videos from the United States of everyone just loving the eclipse. So good on you.
Yeah, I've been watching eclipses through streaming.
So a pretty significant one, and they've been talking about this since the end of last year, started this year as well. So we've certainly been looking forward to it. On April the 8th, there is going to be a total solar eclipse that will last, I think it was from the article I've got here, 4 minutes and 27
That's long.
Seconds. So
it's a pretty long.
Pretty long.
Yeah, longest one in a decade, which is great. Mm. Caroline, so just to put you on the spot really quickly, can you give us the 30 seconds? What is a total solar eclipse?
Okay, so when you get a solar eclipse, the moon will pass between the sun and the earth, and the moon is just the right size so that it will mostly cover the sun. Okay, they're obviously not the same size, but where we're looking, we can see the moon covering the sun. Yes.
Yeah, great. So when a solar eclipse happens, the science community go a little bit crazy because it is a unique and rare opportunity to study the sun's corona.
Yes.
In a way that can't be done in any other way. So they do have solar observatories, things in space that are looking at the sun, with cameras that have a disc covering some of the lens so they can observe
the corona. That's one project that we've spoken about in the past. Yes.
That's right. Yep. However, that it doesn't compare to a solar eclipse.
No.
Because that particular setup doesn't allow them to observe the full sun's is it corona? Hang on, did I get that right?
Yeah.
The full sun corona. Here are some experiments or some teams that are planning on doing some observations of the sun corona during the eclipse. They're very excited about it. So this article comes from New Scientist. I've actually got three quick articles, so I'm gonna whip through these and then we'll have a quick chat. The first one is this team who are excited. They're called the Solar Wind Sherpas. At least that's what their headline says. So Shadia Habal is a social researcher at the University of Hawaii for their Institute of Astronomy, and she's been chasing solar eclipses for almost 30 years. She uses special filters and cameras to measure the temperatures of the particles from the innermost part of the corona. Habal's group, known as the Solar Wind Sherpas, has traveled to places as far afield as the Marshall Islands, Kenya, Mongolia, the Norwegian archipelago of Svalbard, Antarctica, and Libya. So they've seen a few in their lifetimes. And they've been around.
Wow.
Yeah. Her team. Gosh. Yeah, it's a lot of trips. I know. Not jealous at all.
Oh, freaking 5 points in that one. I tell you what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They probably get this trip for free, I wonder. Yeah.
Oh,
but anyway, this time it's in the United States. So they don't have to travel too far. And they use particular filters and cameras to look at the sun's corona. And they study the different wavelengths of light emitted by charged iron particles in the corona. And then that's how they work out the temperature there. Solar physicists usually study the corona by relying on coronagraphs from space. And we talked about how the observatories, they get a lot of things, but they don't get everything. And so Habal says that observations of the corona during the totality, that is when the moon completely covers the sun, are critical. And so she said there is no other way to see this part of the sun's atmosphere that extends from its surface to at least 5 solar radii in a continuous manner. So she said that's fundamental to understanding how the solar atmosphere starts at the sun and then extends into interplanetary space. She says only then can accurate computer models be devised that simulate the corona and help in the prediction of space. the sun is going to reach its solar maximum in 2025, so next year. So this is in its 11-year cycle. So this is one of the best opportunities to observe the sun's corona. So they've devised a few things. One thing they've got, which is really cool, and it has an Australian connection. I love this as well. So they've been burned by bad weather, as we know here in Australia. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we've seen. So she says we had rain in Chile in 2020, clouds at sea in Antarctica in 2021, and there was no eclipse in 2022. So it was during an expedition, the expedition to Antarctica, that they worked on the idea of having a kite equipped with a spectrometer, which separates light into its component wavelengths. So NASA funded a kite, and there's an image of it on this article, which is in our show notes, which is really cool. It has a 6.5 meter wingspan, and it was successfully tested in Western Australia.
Fantastic.
during last year's total solar eclipse. So I remember that one happening in April last year. I had a friend who sent me images. They made their own way of observing it, which is what I'm going to talk about in a minute. And they sent us photos, which was really cool. So this kite was launched on a 1 kilometer long tether attached to a vehicle. And Habal says it was pretty miraculous. Bad weather meant that the team flew it for just 45 minutes before totality. And she said it was thrilling. This is such an amazing thing to look at, guys. You have to check it out. So that's one method. Now, hopefully it does work out for them. However, if that doesn't work, NASA has something else going on. It has its WB-57 aircraft. Now, these are very high altitude, high speed observation planes. They fly at 740 kilometers per hour, which is about the quarter of the speed of the moon's shadow.
Wow.
And they have cameras, I think in the front, in the nose cone, but these cameras are like omnidirectional. So they can observe very well. They can rotate and point at anything essentially. And they fly very high. So the higher in the atmosphere they can go, the better observations they can make. So they fly. I think they fly at about 16 kilometers. Which is pretty high. Hmm. So if you want to work out how high that is, just watch a rocket launch and watch the kilometers on the rocket and see how high that 16 kilometers. I'm pretty sure, Caroline, you can see the curvature of the Earth from there pretty well. So it's pretty high. So it's a great way to observe. So it says here that the WB-57 is perfect for this because its nose cone is a camera and telescope system that can rotate to point at anything, no matter which way the aircraft is flying. So that's a really cool one. And then there's a third one. And by the way, these three attempts at observation are three of many that are going on. Mm. I can't go through all, but there are lots of people all over the world with different methods that they're going to use to try and observe this eclipse. This one I thought was pretty cool, though. This one's titled The Live Streamers. So Caspi, Caspi is part of the Citizen Continental American Telescope Eclipse Project. The acronym is CATE for this project. But CASPI is attempting to make a continuous 60-minute high-resolution movie using 35 teams of citizen scientists in the path of totality from Texas through to Maine, each with the same cameras, telescopes, and training, so they can make exactly the same kinds of observations. CASPI says the teams will be spaced out so that every station is overlapped by its neighbors. If one station doesn't get data because of clouds or broken equipment, it's okay. So he's hopeful the equipment will work since it was successfully tested in Western Australia last year. CASPI said that was the first. Yeah, place to be. Yeah, that was the first eclipse I've seen, says CASPI, who only got to see a few brief seconds because he was busy live streaming it on YouTube. And he says, our equipment couldn't get online, so I spent the whole time holding a phone in front of my face. So while the eclipse was going on, he was live streaming from a phone in front of his face. So those are three experiments, and I haven't gone through the whole article here, but those are three experiments I wanted to mention that are going to be observing this amazing eclipse. However, what about you, humble listener? How are you going to observe it? I found another article which will be in our show notes. This article is How to Make an Eclipse Viewer. We know that you can't stare, Caroline, at a solar eclipse.
No, you cannot.
Because,
do not do it.
Why?
No. Never look directly at the sun. You will burn out your retina. It's dangerous. Do not do it.
Always wear
protective gear.
Yeah. And you can purchase glasses and particular things to allow you to observe the eclipse. be careful when you purchase things online, because sometimes it might be advertised at being able to observe an eclipse, but
make
not
sure
actually
they
good
are
enough
to standard.
Do it.
Yeah. I heard this on the American, I was watching the American news, and they did warn about just buying anything. Make sure that they are to standard. They should have a standard associated with them.
Yes. So just make sure it's not for some shonky seller who says, hey, I've got eclipse glasses and that eclipse, and then they're not that good. Yeah. So here's a way that you can safely do it yourself. You can make a, there are two methods. You can make a pinhole camera. So with this viewer, all you need is some paper, aluminium foil, scissors, and a pen. You cut a hole in the middle of one piece of paper and then cover it in foil. You stick the foil in place and punch a small hole in the middle of it using a pen, needle, or sharp object. On the day of the eclipse, all you have to do is hold this up to the sun and place a second piece of paper on the ground underneath. A bright little dot will appear on the second piece of paper. This is a projection of the sun. As the eclipse progresses, the moon covers, and the moon covers more of the sun, you will see the shape of the dot change. Now, I've seen this myself because my friend who was in Western Australia last year in Perth did this with her family, and she sent photos of this piece of paper. I'm like, what am I looking at? And there's, oh my gosh, that's a projection of the eclipse.
Cool.
So you can actually make your own little projection. And you don't. All you need is things that you can find around your house.
Cool.
Another way is to make a box eclipse viewer. So this one works in the same way, but the projection will appear inside a box instead of on the ground. So for this, all you need is paper, foil, scissors, and a cardboard box. So for example, a cereal box or a shoe box will work well. And what I love about these two projects is that you can do them with your kids if you want to. It's a fun little project that you can do together. So what it says is line one inner side of the box with white paper, then cut two holes in the opposite side, spacing them far apart. Tape a piece of foil over one hole and poke a small hole in it. The other hole will be where you look through. On the day of the eclipse, hold the viewer up to your eye with the sun behind you. A projection of the sun should appear inside the box on the white paper you lined it with. That is so cool. I love
Very
that.
Very cool.
How great
science.
Is it? So you hold the box to your
love
it. Yeah, that's right. So you hold the box and you look in one hole. And you point the foil at the sun, so the sun's behind you.
You get a reflection.
Into the box. It's like, we're, So those are some, if you're like, oh no, I didn't buy glasses, I missed. Here's a way that you can quickly do it. But plan ahead because you've only got 4 minutes and 27 seconds when it passes in your region.
True.
It'll be in parts of North America. And listeners, we expect you to share some photos if you have any or images of what you've done in the Let's Science Discord channel. All right. So hopefully we'll see some of that. That'd be cool. And we'll be, obviously, Caroline and Lino, we'll be watching
live streaming
on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Totally watching. Yeah, we'll be watching it for sure, which is really cool.
Yep.
So, yeah. And lastly, go.
I'll jump in.
No, you go. I'll share this in a second.
So just from watching past eclipses streamed, and there's streams that will have a commentary. So I thought I'd mention a couple of physical things that are awesome when you're experiencing one of these solar eclipses.
Yep.
So obviously we all know when it's a total eclipse, it will go dark. So all of a sudden there'll be no light. It's as if it's nighttime. Another thing also that the temperature will drop. So you actually start to feel cooler. So they do measure the temperature drop during the time as well.
Yeah.
You may be blazing hot 1 minute, but you're going to feel a lot cooler the next minute while it's in totality.
Totally.
Really cool. And I wish too that it was happening here because earlier in the year, I purchased an awesome little telescope that,
of course,
the C-Star S50 that you don't look through it with your eyes, but you actually connect with your phone. So it's a complete Wi-Fi setup, and you look with an app on your phone, and it comes with a solar filter. And one of the best things that I've ever seen was to look at the sunspots through the app on my phone.
Wow.
And
so
you can actually watch the sun live. Like you can also film it. You can take photos through the app and just watching the sun bubbling away. And you can zoom in on the sunspots.
Oh,
that's where the flares are coming out of.
So good.
If I wish I could take that thing over. I'm sure there's a lot of people. It's a very popular little instrument, and I'm sure that many people are going to be using it. If anyone's using it at the time and you've got one, please send some footage or photos and show us what it looks like.
I am sure that there is a population, a section of the community like us, of the world community, who if Netflix or Amazon Prime or someone just had a continuous live stream as one of their shows of the sun, the moon, 100%. Other celestial bodies and whatever, that we would just leave it on and watch it for a long time.
Yeah.
Just like those videos of trains on tracks and boats and rivers. SBS was doing this for a while.
Yeah.
I used to love it. I'd watch for half an hour and then realize, oh, it's been that long. I've been on this train trip it's great.
It's like staring at a fish tank forever. It's just so interesting.
yeah. It is interesting though. It's mesmerizing. Yeah. A bit like being in a cathedral. See, there you go. It's the same thing. This one isn't scientific and it's just a little footnote to add, but I just wanted to talk about what some people, at least 300 people, will be doing during the eclipse. Nearly 300 couples are planning on getting married on the day of the solar eclipse.
There you go. They'll be
joining each other, all right, together to say their vows before the sky goes completely dark in a mass wedding in Russellville in Arkansas. The Total Eclipse of the Heart, an annual musical festival.
No.
I love
the song, guys. It's cheesy. I gotta say it is cheesy, but
that's what they're,
it sounds
that's
good.
What they're calling
sounds
it. Right. Yep. So they are offering what they call a unique once in a lifetime opportunity for astro loving partners. Now, Caroline, you're an astro loving partner, you and Phil, aren't you? For different reasons, aren't you? Because you have a dog called Astro.
Astronomy. So I love my dog called Astro.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah. All right. It says that this way they can declare their love for each other to the moon and back.
Oh, there declare their love. Oh, okay. Yeah, look,
that's right.
You have that opportunity. No, you just do it. Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. There you go. So it says here the wedding ceremony is completely free with a wedding officiant providing along with decorations, flowers, a wedding cake, and a bottle of sparkling fruit drink.
Oh.
Those getting married.
I don't know about that. Sounds too good to be true. Yep. What's going on?
Yeah.
There has to be something hidden here. Come on.
Vow renewals. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Renewals.
Yeah, you could do that, I'm sure. Yeah.
Hey, why not?
It says those getting married just have to bring their own licenses, although first 100 couples who registered had this reimbursed by the festival. This is pretty good, isn't it?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. One of these couples, Carlotta Cox and Matthew Holloway from Knoxville, Tennessee, congratulations, by the way, said they wanted to take advantage of the free wedding and experience being in the path of totality. So, so anyway, the article goes on. There's a few puns in there and whatever else. And then it talks about NASA's guidelines about not
staring at the sun. Of course, eclipse, of course.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought I'd add that as a little footnote to what we know at least 300 people will be doing on the day of the eclipse. There's going to be a mass wedding. Ooh, congratulations. Cool.
What else would you do during an eclipse? Sounds obvious.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Good luck to them, nerds. Yeah, it'll certainly be unforgettable. Yeah.
Hey, look, if I had thought of it, I would have done it as well.
you'd want to have
a different song because
You'd
want to hire a photographer, your own personal photographer, so that you could stand together and have the eclipse behind you.
I mean, that would be a good one too.
Starman's great. Yeah, there'd be a few.
Why not?
Yep.
Yeah. That's more science topic.
Caroline, did you want to, being our chief scientist on this podcast, did you want to add anything else to close this one off?
No, just total regrets that we didn't get married during a solar eclipse. That's it, pretty much.
It's very hard to plan.
It is,
It's very challenging. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Let's Science is brought to you by StarQuest Media and is a fortnightly podcast that brings you the scientific wonders of our universe from a distinctly Catholic point of view. For more from Caroline, Lindsay, and friends, listen to the StarQuest show, Catholics of Oz. Find links from today's show at sqpn.com/science and find the Catholics of Oz at sqpn.com/Oz. Be sure to follow the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts, or on the SQPN YouTube channel. The generous donations of our patrons at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Let's Science and all the shows at StarQuest, which makes our nonprofit mission possible. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. Join us next time for more scientific wonders, and thank you for listening to Let's Science on StarQuest. Here's another show on the StarQuest Network you're sure to enjoy, The Secrets of Stargate. Find it wherever fine podcasts are found or at sqpn.com/stargate.